Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Galatians 6:8 says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." There's a principle that we can be assured that when we put a tomato seed in the soil, a tomato plant will grow. As we discuss this principle as it pertains to our spiritual lives, we will find that how we tend the crop is just as important. So we invite you to join in the conversation to explore the spiritual principles of sowing and reaping. I want to read 1 Corinthians 15. I love this verse of scripture. "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures."
And he says he is truth, and these are all of his words.
Absolutely.
And in case anybody had kind of a weak conscience or a weak faith, then it gives us the affirmation of how many people that they recorded that saw him after the resurrection. And you know, his own brother didn't believe who he was until he arose from the grave. His very own brother. So we can see how God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, and we can still miss him if we're not in the family and needing to be, but even if we are in his family, how we can miss his presence and his grace and mercy.
You know, that is such a good point, Janie, because I think so many times, you know, we have these institutions, these church facilities we go to, And when we go into church, we look at the people around us and we think, you know, all of us are family. This is the family. We get together, we worship, we go through the routine of church service, and we get busy doing and working and serving each other and ourselves. And we really do possibly miss the presence of the Lord.
Well, I've got a confession to make to you. At Bible study, we had a nice group, and I asked Christ to see them in a unique way, looking at the saints through the eyes of Christ and saying, "Open my heart to each one of these," not looking at their performance, not looking at their circumstances, but looking as how he looks at them. And that is a very calming and joyous exercise to just look upon the face of the saints, because you're looking into the face of Jesus Christ. And in Corinthians 1:22, it says that the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. And that's a stumbling block to the Jew, and to the Greeks, it's just plain foolishness. But to those who are called, both of Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then you scoot on down a few more verses into chapter 2, verse 2. And then Paul says, "Because of that, I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And then we know that with the crucifixion came the resurrection. And then we know that we got a benefit package from that resurrection that is unmeasurable would be the way you would say that. But as you proceed over to chapter 1, verse 31, Paul says, "But through all of this, it has brought me to the place that I die daily."
That's chapter 15, verse 31.
Okay, that's the resurrection chapter. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, good. Well, let me ask you something. Were you able to live in resurrection life last week, even when somebody did an injustice or bugged you till you thought that you would just like to have them go away? Were you able to see the resurrection?
I tell you, Janie, it takes discipline to do that.
Yes, it does.
It takes a conscious effort because our flesh is so easily ruffled.
Yes. And yet, if we don't live in that resurrection life, then our labor can be in vain. And I'm thinking, why do I want to go all through all of this and get irritated, anxious, fearful, or what have you, and then have it be in vain? Wouldn't the discipline and endurance, even though it costs you something at the moment, be worth it for
right.
the joy
right.
that is set before you? So, you know, today let's look at the good and bad of what we do. We can work it off of a principle that is in Galatians 6, 7 through 11. Now, would you have happened to have your fingers on that?
I thought I had that one marked, but I don't. So I'll have to have a second.
Well, let's just see what happens when we go to Galatians 6, 7 through 11 and are given options. This would be an option passage.
Okay. 6, 7 through 11.
Mm-hmm.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life.
Okay, now I'll just give you a real hint right there. Corruption is simply evil. So if we sow to the flesh, we are going to reap evil, and our labor can be in vain. And then in the next few verses, it shows the positive side. Because, you know, Sharon, most people, when they read these verses, it's kind of like, oh, you're going to get it. You sow to the flesh, you're going to get it. And that's kind of the context where it's focused on. But really, this is a very positive context because you just got through saying, but those who sow unto Jesus Christ reap everlasting life. And all the benefits that go with having a relationship with Him. So then we are also told that we shouldn't grow weary in this well-doing, because this is the race that we're to run. For if we are privileged to be here 70 and even 80 years, this is how we're to run the race, and we're not to grow weary in well-doing. So we will reap if we don't lose heart.
Right.
So now we're talking about persevering. And then, this is something I get to benefit from you on, it says, do good to all, but especially the household of faith. But if you choose to sow to the flesh, then you will reap the evil. So you see, I'm in this special family now that I can plan on good deeds from you, Sharon, because we're in the family, and you says here that you give me those first before you pass them on. So I'm going to hold you to that, okay?
Okay.
All right, now shall we go ahead and tackle some of the principles of sowing and reaping in this lesson?
Well, I think that's a great idea, because it says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. So what exactly does that mean, Janie?
Well, have you ever been down on the farm, hon?
I have been on the farm.
Well, you know that if you are farming, sowing and reaping is the way you make your income many times. You sow and plant seeds, and then there's certain principles if you're going to get a crop.
Right. You don't sow tomatoes and expect peas.
That's right. So what would be the first principle then? We could say what we sow is what we reap. We don't sow, what did you say?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes and get peas.
Peas.
Right? We have to actually sow before we can have any results. But life requires us to sow. So doing nothing
is still sowing.
Idleness or passivity or something like that. So we all are going to sow something as we walk here.
So it's really, we think about if we don't go out and sow anything, then we're not going to reap anything. And that's not the case.
That's not the case, because you're sowing even if you're...
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. And then...
If you're breathing, you're sowing.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Point two. We will always reap the same kind of seed as we sow. And then we say so, S-O, mm-hmm. not S-O-W.
Uh-huh.
So if we sow, S-O-W, anger, anxiety, depression, discouragement, disbelief, or the one that I can sow is busyness.
Oh, yeah.
Then the fruit of those seeds will be in our life and our behavior and our character. So if I think that, I've got an impossible calendar, but I can get it done, and I let busyness replace the seeds of quietness, the seeds of being still and waiting on my God, the seeds of planning a prayer life, a meditation, keeping my really priorities, the seeds of prioritizing, the seeds that can be sown in learning how to be the victorious warrior, then that's what I'll reap. But what if I'm trying to plant, as you said, a tomato plant with a potato plant? There's going to be mixture there, and I don't know how all the principles of commingling the plants go together, but scripturally, what we sow is what we reap. And I really apply that to our character, since the scriptures has equated these principles of sowing and reaping to the character and the works that come out from that.
Right.
So a third principle is we never reap immediately what we sow.
That is an interesting one, because many times that's what we want
to happen.
To happen.
Yes.
So we don't want to wait for a seedling, so we'll go buy a half-grown tomato plant and plant it in the backyard.
There you go.
Right? So,
right.
So we'll pay a little extra to get that tomato plant because we don't want to wait the time that it takes for that seedling to sprout. But the Lord really doesn't work that way with us.
No, because otherwise He wouldn't say grow in grace and knowledge.
Right.
It is a time thing that we grow in.
Time.
Well, and you know, for the saint that is 24 hours old in the Lord, that saint is just secure in the Lord as if they have been growing and sowing for 50 years.
Right.
But their understanding and the fruit of their harvest, you stop and think about your son planting a little crop and he'll have some fruit. But stop and think if he grows and he decides to be a farmer and now he has acres and acres of produce rather than one little plant. And that's what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to sow so that there will be fields that are ripe for the harvest.
Right.
And then He will ask us to pray for the harvesters to come to harvest the crop. So we should not get discouraged in the fact that we are commanded to grow and that there is a waiting process as we grow. And you know, another point, Sharon, we shouldn't really get a critical eye against the little ones that are learning. We should realize that they are sowing seeds of righteousness, and they may be mixing some seeds of flesh, but that's up to the master to help
to divide
them.
That up.
Yes. And you know, the wrong seeds, what are going to happen? They're going to dry up. They're not going to plant or grow, or if they grow, they're going to grow as wild weeds that have no purpose in them. So that's why we want to sow the good seed.
I do better with a small crop. You know, we're talking about fields and fields of farming. And, you know, when I was a kid, we had 6 acres of garden. We had
great
so
food,
much in our garden. So I do better with just a small garden for me, because I can tend to that garden a lot better than if it were 6 acres. So is there a principle in sowing in certain areas, sowing with certain things and tending that?
Yes. There's several strong principles. Number one, I don't know that I should say it's the most important, but we'll start off with God has gifted each one of us at the time of salvation with a spiritual gift. That's something we're going to be able to operate in. And I'm not saying it's ever going to be without conflict, but we're going to have a special ability to operate in that. And one of the most alarming things for me is there are people who I'll ask them, hey, what's your name and what's your spiritual gift? You know, nothing like going right to the question.
Right.
And so many people who've been in church for decades do not have a clue what their spiritual gift is.
And you know, it really is very important to understand what your spiritual gift is so that you can hone in on that area.
Yes, because you're doing one or two things. The spiritual gift is alive and it's active. So it's either being used under the guidance of the Holy Spirit or it's being misused under your own rationale and reasoning
and flesh.
And you can usually sometimes tell, but here is an ironic funny about life. Most people learn their spiritual gift by misuse.
Okay.
You're doing it wrong and you're frustrated and your intent and motives are not working out right. And then you find out, oh, well, I'm gifted in this area. And then, do you know, I'm not a percentage person, but I could say 50% of church problems, now that's an opinion, not a fact on percentages, okay, are caused because people don't know their spiritual gift. So the person who has the gift of giving gets really irked with a person who is the teacher or with a person who has the gift of administration, because you see, they function differently and it takes all of them to make up the whole for the body to be healthy. If I, let's just say I have the gift of giving and you don't, but you have the gift of, well, let's just say exhortation.
Okay.
Okay. And every time I see you, you're not giving, you're teaching, you're exhorting, you're encouraging. But every time I come see you, I bring you some token of love, whether it's to help you with finances, whether it's to help you with your kids. And I can't understand why you don't give the way you give. See, because I'm judging you from
based on your gift.
Yes.
Right.
So once we learn the gifts all and the misuse and the correct use, then I say, oh, I see where she's gifted. Mm-hmm. I need to come along and help her. And so that can be a great building up of the body of Christ, or it can be a very tearing down of the body of Christ.
And when you know your spiritual gift, you're able to walk in it correctly,
yes,
through the Holy Spirit and allow God to use you in that area, and also not be jealous or envious of the person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's the principle, and we're kind of touching on it here. You put a seed of corn in the ground, but you don't get two seeds of corn above the ground. What do you get? You get
a full ear. Yeah.
Yes. So there is great joy in knowing that when you are sowing unto righteousness, that the crop is abounding and abounding. That principle is also going to work for when you go before your bema, and you were faithful in a little things, but the Lord says, but I will reward you in much. Now, this is not an ego trip to go grabbing all the goodies of heaven, all right?
Right.
This is a heart that is saying, I want to lay these at the Master's feet, because it was by him and through him that they were able to be accomplished. Mm-hmm. So a grateful heart will not want to go trying to stack three crowns on your head. You will want to take those back and lay them at his feet, because it's evident that you were obedient to him in the sowing and the reaping process. So we will cast our crowns at his feet. I imagine we'll cast everything from a spirit of gratitude.
Yeah.
There'll be no way that you want to hold on to it. Then we reap in the proportion as we sow. Stop and think about a farmer. Well, I'll throw a little seed over here, I'll throw a little seed over there, and we'll just see what comes up. No, he's
strategically places those.
Yes, and wholeheartedly does he plant that crop, expecting with the greatest of hope that he will be blessed with the good external circumstances of the right amount of sun, the fertilizer in the soil has been put into the right proportion so that he can reap an abundant harvest. And we need to stop and think about that same thing. We just can't go, well, I'll go here and throw out a good word here, or I'll go over there and attend this seminar and see if I can bless somebody, and then I'm going to get on with my life. No, this is a wholehearted effort. And the Bible talks about the fact that we really can't see God without purity of heart, singleness of aim, and a whole heart. So these farming principles of sowing and reaping are also good lessons for character developing and emptying of self so that Christ can do this through us.
Well, you know, that's a really good example. When I was talking about, you know, we come to church and we're working within the church and we're serving and trying to bless others, It is almost as if we are just throwing out seeds wherever we can to fill in those spaces that are missing in the church or in the ministry. So when we think about sowing strategically and building that row that the seed is going to be dropped into and placing those seeds just so far apart so that they can grow and one won't choke the other out, and allowing that seed to be its fullest.
Yes.
There's a great lesson to learn from that, in that we shouldn't spread ourselves too thin.
Now you're walking on touchy soil, Sharon, for a lot of us.
So we're more focused and have that ability to really sow and nurture and take care of those seeds that have been sown, and not just throwing them out there hoping they'll find their way down into the soil if a bird didn't come by and get it first.
I saw a field the other day where the seeds had been sown and the crop came up, but it was not attended to. And so all the ears of corn dried up and went to nothing. And then it was useless to even have a harvest.
Right.
So I like some churches do, when they have a new person come in and become a part of the church, they assign somebody else to kind of be their mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you're going to go have a Bible study with them every day, but you're going to fellowship with them, mm-hmm. like we did in the first church. Or, well, we didn't. We weren't
right,
here, but
right.
like our first church did. And there's fellowshipping, there's eating together, there is enjoyment together, but there is everything having a single focus, and that is we're focusing around the Lord Jesus Christ and what he wants and how can we help one another grow.
Right.
And then, Sharon, some of us are very tearful creatures and we cry over our loss. So we have a crop that we really didn't do well with. We didn't attend to it. And maybe there was a blazing sun and we thought about ourselves and getting out of the sun rather than being faithful for what needed to be for the crop. And the crop is lost. And I have seen people who can't get over the loss of something, especially where it happened to them beyond their control.
Right.
Or maybe it did happen to them because of neglect and they have guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who had a loss and it was nothing that they did wrong, then they can battle anger. They can get angry at God. They can go into depression. They can think, this doesn't work. I'm going to go back and do it my way. And then they revert back to the flesh. And now they're in a place of defeat where the resurrection has provided for them total victory. But we have to constantly persevere. And I know personally from my persevering, if I get out of the Word more than a couple of days, I already can sense the mm-hmm. distance.
Right.
Or just kind of yeah. like a flat zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a music, you love to have highs and lows in your notes. And it's just like it's a middle C, and that's just what it is. And then as soon as I'm in the Word listening, mm-hmm. then the melody comes back into our lives and our spirits. The good news for us, Sharon, is that from our spiritual reality, our moral choices, we can acquire new seeds, that's new opportunities, and change our method of farming so that we will reap everlasting life. And that includes a whole lot more than salvation. So I'm hoping that this little lesson on sowing and reaping, and we've just barely touched the surface on all that a farmer must engage in, but it will be a lesson for us to see how we can help each other avoid the loss that may occur when we stand before the Lord and he judges us for our choices here. But if we apply these rules of sowing and reaping, then I can come in along and say, you know, Sharon, have you tried this? You know, have you tried that, and help give you ideas for better sowing and reaping, and you do the same for me.
That's right. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.